In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your
Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
For zeal for your house has consumed me.
And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me.
O God, why do you cast us off forever?
Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture?
Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
Remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt.
Direct your steps to the perpetual ruins.
The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
zeal for your house has consumed me.
And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me.
The Lord be with you. See that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 26th chapter. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord, and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death, because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants, for in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness.
You have made me
words to seek after lies.
But know that the Lord has set apart a godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, "Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord."
You have put more joy in my heart than they have with their grain and wine abound.
In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, may be well in safety.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the third and fourth chapters. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say,
blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heading for the cross, Jesus lamented over the rebellion of Jerusalem, saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often would I have gathered you, your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." This is our text. Do you see what kind of people Jesus has to deal with? I mean, what a people. A rebellious people. A stubborn and stiff-necked people. Disrespectful. Doing what's right in their own eyes. Walking in a way that isn't good. Willfully unrepentant. Living with their belly as their God, glorying in their shame, setting their minds on earthly things, a people who do not listen to the voice of their Father. Does any of that sound familiar? Can we relate? These are the people that Jesus deals with. And what else can he do as he deals with a rebellious people except lament and mourn over them? It breaks his heart. It breaks his heart even more than it breaks ours, and I know that it breaks your heart at times. We hear this in the gospel reading, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you rebellious people." It's more than an accusation, more than finger pointing. It's a lamentation. And just think about that. Your God laments over sin and rebellion. He laments over your sin and your rebellion. Jesus grieves and sorrows, not about the state of the culture, not about the times in which we live, but for his people. He laments their sin and hard-heartedness. And you know how deeply he feels their rebellion? He feels it like a nail driven through his wrist, like a thorn pressed into his crown, like a spear jammed into his side. For a rebellious people, the weight of the cross presses down on Jesus. That's what he's going through as he draws near to Jerusalem. That lamentation, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," it echoes the words of King David from 2 Samuel chapter 18. I encourage you to read that chapter at home tonight, 2 Samuel 18, maybe even the chapters earlier. In those chapters, King David, God's anointed, is estranged from Jerusalem. He's on the run, hunted, hounded, cursed by the very people God called him to serve. Why? What's going on that David would leave Jerusalem? It's because of his rebellious son, named Absalom. The name Absalom means father of peace, but this Absalom had no sons, and he brought no peace. What he did was this. He stole the hearts of the people by trickery. He had himself declared king. He seized the throne, and then he made war against his own father. And yet, when it came to fighting, these were David's directions. His orders were clear. He said, "Deal gently, for my sake, with the young man Absalom." Deal gently with him. Because to lose his son, his rebellious son, would not be a victory. It would be a loss. How he longed for restoration and reconciliation and peace with his son. But Absalom was not willing. In the battle that followed, in fact, Absalom got hung up by his vanity and pride. And I mean that quite literally. If you know the story of Absalom, he thought very highly of his head of hair. He had spent his life looking at himself, perhaps looking at himself in a mirror, thinking about himself, and serving himself. It's worth asking whether we might at times be Absalom as well. But as I said, Absalom, in the middle of this war, he got hung up on his hair. While he was riding on his mule, it went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak because of his hair. Just picture it. Tangled in that tree, he was suspended between heaven and earth, while the mule just kept on going and left him behind. I mean, is that a picture of rebellion or what? Dangling in midair, head and hair entangled in the branches, feet just kicking wildly, nothing firm beneath, trapped. As it says in the law, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And there's Absalom, hung between heaven and earth, rebellious Absalom under that curse. And then he dies with a javelin thrust to the heart. Now, you might expect that that would bring victory and joy to the people. After all, when a rebel leader is killed and the rebellion is ended, you expect a celebration of some kind. But that's not how David responds. The death of the rebel brings no joy. The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And he wept. And as he wept, he lamented and said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would that I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." David grieves for his dead, rebellious son. Oh, Absalom, Absalom. And now we come to Jesus. Jesus, who is descended from that same David according to the flesh. David was his great, 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 great grandfather, which means that, like Absalom, he's a son of David. In fact, we say that he is the son of David. And at the same time, he's not only a son of David, but he's also the true son of God. When Jesus came into the world, he said to his father, "A body you have prepared for me. I have come to do your will, O God." A son who is not rebellious. A son who is perfectly obedient in every way to his father. And the father sends this beloved son. He sends this beloved son behind enemy lines, and he sends him right into the midst of the rebels. To us, rebels. And what is God's will? When he says, "I have come to do your will," the father doesn't desire the death of the sinner. He doesn't want the execution of those who are in rebellion. The father says to his son, "Deal gently with them." Because the father has no wish to curse or condemn those who are stubborn and stiff-necked. Quite the opposite. He desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He would not have any be lost, but rather that in repentance all we would turn and believe. So Jesus said, in the words of the hymn, "A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth," we're not going to be singing it today, but let the words ring in your ears. He said, "Yes, Father, yes, most willingly. I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. I'll do what you have asked me." he walked among the rebels. He urged them to lay down their arms. He taught them about the kingdom, and he invited them to enter it. He offered them true peace and a place like his. Seats at the table as sons of the Father. That's his offer. Of rebellious Jerusalem, he said, "How often would I have gathered you as your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings," picturing himself like a mother hen, and all the people like little chicks. But they would not. So our Lord opened his wings even further. He knelt in a garden, and you might remember that it was in a garden that rebellion first broke out. He knelt in a garden and prayed, saying, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Thy will be done." And he meant it. With every fiber of his being, with every drop of his innocent blood, it was his mission, and he chose to accept it. King David grieved over his son Absalom. He grieved, but he couldn't make it right. He couldn't atone for his son's sins. He couldn't rescue Absalom from death and eternal damnation. Jesus also laments those in rebellion, but he went a step farther than David did. He didn't just say, "Would that I had died instead of you, O rebel and villain." He actually did it. He offered himself. Just look, the faithful son is treated like a rebel. Look at how he hangs between heaven and earth in the place of every rebellious son. Look at how the javelin pierces his side. He is the new, the greater, the obedient yet crucified Absalom, and in his body he makes atonement for the rebels. He stages the greatest rescue ever. He says, "Let the rebel go. Take me. I die instead of you." And this took place outside Jerusalem. The name Jerusalem is both ironic and prophetic. It's ironic because it means the Lord will provide peace. It's ironic because Jerusalem may be the least peaceful place on earth. For all of history. It's the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. And yet it's prophetic. For though it takes the cross, though it takes the full weight of the cross falling on Jesus, the Lord will indeed provide peace. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. If the disciples were silent, the very stones would cry out. Jesus is our peace. He is the peace to end the rebellion. He is the peace to turn the hearts of those who have been fighting against God and running from him. So how will a rebellious people respond to this? How will they respond to the death of God's own beloved Son? On the day of Pentecost, St. Peter stood before a great crowd and he spoke the truth. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, the Son of David, whom you crucified." And we may ask today, are there ways in which we are in rebellion against our Lord? Are there ways that we resist what he gives and offers and desires and provides for us? Are there areas of our life in which we refuse his help? Do we scurry away from the shelter of his wings and seek instead to make peace with the world? Have our minds been set on earthly things? Have we been thinking of ourselves and serving of ourselves and desiring our own things rather than the things of God? Will we insist on going our own way, and so crucify him again? Will we continue in sin so that the rebellion goes on, but grace may abound? How could we? How could we, after what he has done for us? For Jesus has come that he might bring many sons to glory. That's what he calls you and me, the sons that he is bringing to glory. And he is not ashamed to call us his brothers. In fact, this was so much on his heart that he was willing to go all the way to the cross for it. Willing to go for those who were not willing, so that we might turn from our sinful ways and live. He himself is our peace. And with the weight of the cross crushing him, pressing down on him, he is our peace again today. Jesus came. He comes right now to gather us to himself. So here's what you are to do today. Shelter under his wings. Come under the protection of his forgiveness. Lower your defenses. Lay down your arms. Abandon the rebellion. Stop running. Know his love. Know the height and the depth and the warmth of his love. And rest on the solid ground beneath his cross. And join with all the other little chicks that he's gathered under his wings. Join in words that we'll soon sing. Here might I stay and sing. No story so divine. Never was love, dear King. Never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. Out of love for you, the weight of the cross pressed down on Jesus. And so we look to him and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, who comes even to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, using the last words of our reading from Philippians today, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy. May your kingdom come to us and expand. Protect and preserve pastors in their office, And we pray that you would provide a pastor for the saints of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Leland. Seek out and restore those who have wandered, and bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom, those who are in rebellion, to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. We ask you that you would continue to be with Kim throughout her hospitalization and recovery. Grant patience and healing to our sister, Jenny. Provide good medical care for Joe amid his major health issues. Heal our sister Kate of her pneumonia. We ask that you would assist Danny and his family in his recovery. And into your hands, merciful hands, we also commend Judy, Ano, Audrey, Joyce, Tiffany, Gwen, Patty, Rick, Stan, John, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Give us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Give our rulers humility and wisdom. Grant peace to our land and the lands of the world. Bless our homes. Provide us with good and godly friendships. Grant godly employment to those without work. Keep in your care all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Kelly, Rachel, and Abby, and grant your peace and comfort to all who have suffered infertility and miscarriage. We give thanks to you also for hearing our prayers for Paul and Kimberly. Grant that their joy would be in you. We also thank you for caring for Melinda, Tamas, Rosemarie, and Luann during their surgeries. Bless them as they recover. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. O Heavenly Father, grant peace and comfort to all who mourn, especially to the family of Sandra, her children and grandchildren, as well as to Rose and Steve. And finally, we pray, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and eternally. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us
when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills, for where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord shall not strike you by day or by the moon at night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.